Yeah, they're walking. Just walk. Keep an eye on them. They'll start, pretty soon they're going to be leaping. And then if you see their hands go up, you'll know that you're in a Lutheran church. Oh. Last week's first lesson, Acts 3. This week, Easter 4, it would be Acts 4. But what we have to understand is that whether Peter is preaching to the crowds or to the religious leaders, it's the same sermon. And it's all about Jesus, and the punchline, Acts 4:12. There is salvation only in the name of Jesus. There's no other name that's been given by which we must be saved. Peter isn't afraid to preach. And whenever God opens the door, Good Shepherd Sunday, John chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm the gate. There's not lots of gates, not lots of doors into the sheepfold. There's just one, and I am. Jesus opens the door. He's the great physician, a man that hasn't been able to walk or leap or enter into church for over 40 years. And what happens? He's healed perfectly. It says in Acts, perfectly. That means it's not just that he can walk and leap. It means that he can praise God. He knows who it is that has made him completely, perfectly well. It's in the name of Jesus. In Acts 3, when he's preaching to the crowds, Peter doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't. And he won't pull any punches when he ends up preaching to the religious leaders either. He says, you want to know how this happened? You think I've got a rabbit's foot in my pocket or something? You want to know how this happened? It's not our piety. It's not our power. It's Jesus. And faith in his name that has raised this man that you've known for over 40 years that's been crippled. Yeah. And then he gets to the brass tacks. Jesus, Christ, Messiah, Nazareth, you know, the one that you delivered up to Pilate, even though he wanted to let him go, the one that you delivered up to Pilate and crucifixion on a cross, and you chose Barabbas, a murderer, instead. You killed the righteous and holy one. You put to death the author of life. But God raised him up. He did. And we are eyewitnesses of this. And then Peter says, you know, ignorance can only go on for so long. The days of ignorance are past. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, right here, Peter says, Jesus is present. And he is inviting all of us to come through the door into the sheepfold, which is a door of repentance and forgiveness. In his name, our sins are entirely blotted out. You heard it. In his name, Dallas said, in his name, your sins are completely forgiven, blotted out. In no other name can you be healed or saved? Perfectly. Except the name of Jesus. Peter preaches, and in Acts 4, because he's preaching, the religious leaders are going to lock him up. They're going to put Peter and John into prison, and that will become another door, the door of opportunity and preaching. And he'll say the same thing to the religious leaders. He'll call them on the carpet, he'll point the finger, and he'll let them know that they're responsible. It was my sin. It was your sin that put Jesus on the cross. And we can't escape that by pretending that it wasn't your sin or my sin. But with repentance, in his name, there's forgiveness. And all of our sins are blotted out. All of them. In the 1600s, 1628, there was a baby boy born named John Bunyan. Some of you have read and you know the story I'm talking about, The Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote that while John was in prison. He was raised in a very destitute, poor family, and not necessarily so much for the Lord, but the Lord opened the way to John's heart. And not only did he become a follower of Jesus, but John Bunyan became a Puritan preacher, a Reformed Baptist preacher in England in the 1600s. Born 1628, died 1688. He lived almost to be 60 years, just short of it. And he spent 20% of his life, one-fifth of his life, in prison, which became his congregation for preaching the gospel. And he talks about a vision that he had when God spoke to him and said, "Keep your sin and go to hell." Leave your sin and go to heaven. And he preached boldly. This is a man who, when he was 30 years old, he lost his first wife. They had four kids together. The firstborn was a girl that was born blind. And they're poor. They have nothing materially, but they have everything spiritually. And then his wife dies. He's got these four kids to raise. He gets married to another woman who takes care of these four kids. They have two kids. The first child is a stillborn. And then they have a second one. And in 1660, it was against the law, illegal, unless you were authorized by the Church of England to preach. But God called them to preach. So what did he do? Well, I got to take care of my family, my wife and my kids. I mean, I got to give up this nonsense of preaching, right? Sorry, Jesus, but you got to take a place in the trunk. No. He was put in jail, prison, for 3 months. And when they were going to release him, he said, "Now, you know, if God gives me an open door, tomorrow I'm going to be preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. You need to know that." And so they said, "Well, then don't let him out." 12 years. I mean, out for a little bit, but 12 years he's in prison. Because he's convinced that the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep is the only way into the sheepfold. Jesus says in John 10, "I've got lots of other sheep. They're not part of this fold, but we need to go get them so that they can be part of this fold." That's what people who are perfectly healed, who are saved, do. Like Katie Luther used to say, "I cling to Christ like a burr on a velvet dress." Seriously. This man who is healed in Acts 3 doesn't let go of Peter and John. He's clinging to them because they've got the word. They've got the name of Jesus. And he wants to learn everything he can about Jesus crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin, the blotting out of our sins. At the end of Pentecost Day, the church that started to be 120 was 3,120. And after Peter gets done preaching to the crowds, it says now the church is about 5,000 men, plus women and children. You see how God is growing his church? Growing his church, opening the door, and letting preaching in the name of Jesus happen so that people are coming to faith. This is good news. You see, the name of Jesus changes everything. William Willimon, who is a retired bishop of the Methodist Church, talks about his first parish. His very first parish was in rural Georgia. He said it was rural Georgia. And he was only there for a year, but he said it felt like it was eternity. I think you get the picture. He said, "I was never so happy when they said, 'We've got another call in South Carolina for you.'" He said, that in that 1 year's time, one night there was a fight in the parking lot. Two of the board members were going at it with fists. Another night in the same parking lot, two people from the choir were committing adultery in the church parking lot. He was glad to be out of there. Now fast forward 10 years. 10 years later, he is speaking, Pastor Williman is speaking at like a school of theology. And during the break, a young man comes up, fresh out of seminary, in his first call, and he says, Pastor Williman, you and I, we share something in common. I'm serving the congregation that you served 10 years ago. Pastor Williman said, so they're still sending sheep to the slaughter, huh? And the young man was bewildered, and he said, just last night in my prayers, I was thanking Jesus for sending me there to that congregation and being in such an amazing congregation. And Pastor Wilman says, just a second now, are we talking about the same congregation? You go into the town, and right on the edge of the town, you take a left, you go maybe a half a mile, and then there's a filling station. Yeah. You know, Pastor Williman, it said that there isn't a needy person anywhere in the area. And they just started a new fund to send kids in the community to college that wouldn't be able to afford it otherwise. And he said, are we talking about the same congregation? And the young man, he says, they still remember you there. And Pastor Wilman says, well, you can tell them I haven't forgotten them either. And then Pastor Wilman said, so what happened? He said, well, I'm new there, but this is the story. One night, they went to a Bible study at the church, a bunch of them. They were studying one of Paul's letters. You know, one of those Bible studies that you started and nobody wanted there at the church? And all of a sudden, in the middle of that Bible study, the Holy Spirit settled. And they were convicted. And they repented. And they've been repenting ever since that day. And they heard with clarity what it was that God wanted them to do with the life that he had given them. And that's what they've been doing. Pastor Williman said, I heard that testimony and I realized what had happened. Jesus came and stood among them. Luke 24. Easter morning, the women become the first preachers, and everybody thinks it's an idle tale. And then there's Cleopas and maybe his son, his wife, his companion, but they're on the road to Emmaus heading home, and Jesus walks with them, but they don't recognize him. And he opens the scriptures because they're slow of heart to believe everything that's been written in the Bible, and their hearts are burning. As he opens the scriptures to them. And then they get to the house and it's getting dark, and hospitality says, hey, stranger, why don't you spend the night with us? Stay here. And he does. He accepts the invitation, and Jesus goes in and he sits at the table and he's the guest, but he becomes the host. He blesses and breaks the bread. And in that holy communion, their eyes are open and he vanishes. And they go, oh my God. Jesus. They hit the road. They go 7 miles uphill back to Jerusalem. They're out of breath. They're in there. They said, you're not going to believe what just happened to us today. And they go, well, that's old news. Jesus has already appeared to Peter and a bunch of the others too. So what happens? Well, they're all sharing their stories and it's Easter. It's Easter, and they're all sharing their stories about Jesus. What happens? He stands among them. They think they're seeing a ghost. I mean, they still disbelieve for joy, for joy, but they disbelieved. And what happened? He said, you got your doubts? Here. That's it. It's not fake. It's real. Touch. And then he says, ooh, that was my stomach growling. You know, that happens sometimes. Anybody got something to eat? Don't you love it? They said, we got some broiled fish. Sounds good. He eats it right there in front of him. Evidence of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he gives them peace, the peace of God. And he tells them that he's got a commission for them. Stay in the city until you get clothed with power from on high. And when you get the power of the Holy Spirit, get moving. It's Easter, you know. Get moving. There are people that need to hear the good news. That's what saved people do. They know that Jesus has other sheep that haven't been enfolded yet. And so he uses us to preach the good news. There was a chaplain during the Civil War. And on the battlefield, he was going up to wounded soldiers. He went up to one wounded soldier and he had the Bible in his hand. He said, would you like me to read some verses to you? And the man that's wounded laying there, he says, no, I'm thirsty. So he gave him a drink of water. He said, now would you like me to read some verses to you? Out of the Bible. And the man said, no, but I could use something under my head while I'm laying here. And he put something under the man's head. And then the preacher, for the third time, the chaplain, he said, would you like me to read some verses out of the Bible, from God's Word? And the man said, no, but I'm cold. Could you cover me? And he took off his coat and laid it over the wounded soldier. And not wanting to ask a fourth time, the chaplain started to walk away. And the wounded soldier, he said, chaplain, if you've got something there in that book, the Bible, that explains why a person does what you just did for me, I'd like you to tell me about it. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, crucified and risen. Rise up and walk. Amen.